We do count it an honor to preach on this subject, and I'm excited any time the Lord leads in the direction of preaching on evangelism or witnessing or anything like that. And here's why, is because I myself need reminded. I myself need stirred up. Even as a preacher of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes I lose focus, and sometimes I forget, and sometimes it's not on the forefront of my mind when I go to the store. Sometimes on the forefront of my mind when I'm visiting with someone. I'm just being honest. I think that's the best way to deal with this subject is to acknowledge that all of us fail. All of us have regrets. All of us have opportunities that we've missed out on. We'll never get them back. I remember one time that the Lord really dealt with me very strongly. One time I had the opportunity to witness to a young lady after I'd had some problems, some back surgeries. And I wanted to witness to her. I didn't do it, and I never will forget. And she was my physical therapist, and I remember it was like on a Monday, and I thought, well, I didn't have the courage that day to do it. And I thought, you know what, I'll do it next time. I'll do it next time. She was, I think, 34 years old and was killed that week. And there was no next time. I wept like a baby. I don't want that to ever happen again.
Amen.
You know, I do not believe this, that God wants you to witness to everybody you pass in Walmart. If I did believe that, I would be so miserable. So would everybody else. You know, I do believe that God brings people into our life.
Amen.
It may be that that person's in that aisle with you at Walmart for that reason. But you know what? We just can't stop everybody we pass, can we? We can't do that. We got lives to live. We got to go get the groceries. You know, we got things we got to do. But there's reasons why people are where they're at, and we're having interaction with them in our day-to-day life. And sometimes when we think of evangelism, and we think, well, it's that time, you know, when the church comes together, maybe that one time a week, and we go out and we canvass the community. Well, that's just a small part of it. Let me tell you what, I think it's a great thing for a church to do that. I believe that, you know, a church ought to evangelize together. That's a good thing. But let me tell you what, if the church doesn't do that, I would much rather that the church as a whole, each individual, is witnessing to each and every person in their life every day. They will cover far more ground than just coming together once a week and going out. Did you understand what I'm saying? I think a daily witness, each and every day, in every individual's life, everywhere you go, as the opportunity presents itself, will be far more in number that you will reach than by the church having an organized visitation and going out. And I'm not against organized visitation and going out. I've done that. I'm okay with that. Our church right now isn't doing that. But I'm okay with that. If those individuals in their everyday lives are witnessing, I want to start from John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32. The title of our message tonight is "The Truth Makes Men Free."
Amen.
The truth makes men free. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." As you continue in the Word, he says this in verse 32, "And you shall know the truth." So you continue in the Word, what's going to happen? You'll know the truth.
Amen.
"And the truth shall make you free."
Amen.
You know, that's not just good for saved people. That's not just good for lost people. That's good for saved people.
Amen.
You see, even as saved individuals, sometimes we become in bondage to lies, philosophies of men, traditions of men. But the more we know the truth, the more free we are.
Amen.
Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask for Your help tonight as we preach the Word of God. Lord, I pray for Your presence. I pray for Your power. And Lord, I pray that the words tonight will be Your words and not mine. And Lord, I ask that You would just use me tonight as Your vessel and empty me of myself. And God, help me to speak the Word. Fill me and thrill me with Your Spirit. And God, just help me, Lord, to encourage Your people tonight to understand that Your people are the true freedom fighters. We pray in Jesus' name. And amen.
Amen.
You know, we like that word free, don't we? I mean, if you don't think people like the word free, you should have came to our church yard share. We didn't have a yard sale, we had a yard share at our church last month. And it was basically a huge yard sale, but nothing was for sale. As all of our church members got together, got all their stuff. We had furniture, we had clothes, we had nice stuff. And you put a sign out front that says free, and you get a lot of people show up. People like that word free. And we used that as an opportunity to give people the gospel as they came and gave them a gospel track and had Bibles there for them and so forth. And you know, we had 400 to 500 people show up at our church for that, just to get free stuff. And we wasn't selling it, didn't sell anything. And so we just see that as an opportunity to help minister our community, give some things away, help people in their time of need, get some food and so forth, and have a meal for them and give them some clothes, give them the gospel. And people show up when they see that word free. They like that word free. The truth shall make you free. That's not necessarily the kind of free we're talking about tonight. But that word free also means liberty. The truth shall make you free. It shall give you liberty. That's what that word free there means. It means to set at liberty from the dominion of sin. That word make you free there, it's one word. That word make you free, it's one word, and it's a verb. It's action. See, the truth of God's Word is active. It makes us free. It's working for our freedom. So just the opposite is this tonight. If the truth shall make us free, then lies bring us into bondage.
Right.
Truth frees man. Lies brings man into bondage. And there are a lot of lies out there today for people to believe. I don't know all the lies, but I know there's a bunch. And I know I hear plenty of lies all of the time. We hear them from our politicians. We hear them from religious leaders. We hear them on the television. We hear them on the radio. We hear lies. I don't think it's so important for us to get involved in all the lies and to know all the lies, all the different lies of religion that's out there. There's a lot of different religions, isn't there? A lot of lies. I don't have to know about all the lies, all the details of Mormonism. I don't have to know all the details of all those things. See, if you follow me tonight, what men need to know is the truth. And the truth sets men free from all lies. This freedom comes by the knowledge of the truth as we see in the Word of God. We're going to consider two main truths this morning or this evening. What is this truth that makes us free? And secondly, what does it set us free from? Really, those two main thoughts throughout this message. That's very simple, and we're going to look at three aspects of truth this morning. First of all, the person of truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, said He is truth, didn't He? In John 14:6, I believe I'm preaching to a knowledgeable group tonight that knows that. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." The truth is, Jesus is the only way.
Amen.
Now listen, when you know that one truth, you can set men free.
Amen.
God can use you to set men free when you know the truth. The truth, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if you know that truth will make you free, and you sharing that truth can make other men free.
Amen.
Listen, just understanding that one verse, I love John 14:6, don't
Amen.
You? Just knowing that one verse, that one truth, can help you combat every other religious system out there that there is.
Amen.
It'll help you combat them all.
Mm-hmm.
Christ sets us free from what? From bondage. He sets us free from the bondage of sin and the penalty of the law. Now, people need to know that they're in bondage, however.
Right.
Now, people don't always know that. You know, and here's why. Because people are born into it. Yeah, if a baby was born in jail and lived its whole life in jail, and that's all it knew, it wouldn't know what it was missing, would it? It doesn't realize it. If a baby's born blind, that's all it knows. Listen, people are born blind. People are born into bondage. That's all they know. They don't even know that they're in bondage. But the truth is what can reveal that to them. The law of God has got men in bondage underneath the penalty of the law. The people here in John 8, in our passage, thought they were free because they were of Abraham. And Christ made it clear that they were not. He said in verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Listen, devil is the father of all lies. We have two things, a battle today. It's lies and truth. All lies are of the devil, and all truth is of God.
Amen.
That's all there is. And we like to, a lot of people talk about that gray area. I don't like gray area. It's either red and white or black and white. That's all it is. And we need to understand that. And God's truth will reveal the devil's lies. The devil had caused these people to believe a lie, to believe that because they were the lineage of Abraham, that they were okay. That's what they believed when you look at the whole context. That's what they believed. Satan still lies today.
Amen.
He's still telling people some of the same lies. Well, you are a child of God. You got godly parents. You come from a godly lineage. You're okay with God. Or he tells other lies. You are better than those other people. Or he tells this lie. You just need to do a little better and you'll feel okay. He'll say, there are many ways to God. They all lead to Him. Everybody gets to God his own way. How many times you hear that? Well, we're all going to the same place. Well, we're all going to one of the two places. I'll agree with that. Man is in bondage to his sin, and the only way to be made free from that bondage is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, if we just get that in our heads, then whenever we're dealing with the lies of the devil, somebody's talking to you, and they're talking to you about their religion, what they believe, and you know it is not right. Listen, give them the truth.
Amen.
Just tell them the truth. Listen, you don't have to tell. You don't have to say, hey, everything you believe is lies. You don't have to say that. You know what you do? You just give them the truth.
Amen.
The truth reveals lies. Light repels darkness.
Amen.
Now there are many. We talk about freedom and liberty, and we like that those words. There are many who do not live in a free country, but are free from the bondage and penalty of sin. Those are far better off than Americans without Jesus.
Right, amen.
We are obsessed in America with making the world like America. But what the world needs is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Maybe tonight you're lost. You say, well, preacher, am I in bondage? Am I in bondage? Maybe you think, well, I've never thought about myself being in bondage. Being trapped, being ensnared. Well, I think I'm free. Listen, if all you've ever known is your little jail cell, you may think you're free. But not until the door is open and you're really set free do you really know how much you've been in bondage. And isn't that the way salvation is? I mean, you thought you were living it up. You thought you were free. You were living in liberty. You were living a good life. And then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ came in, showed you were in bondage and set you free. And then you say, now I'm free. I thought I was free. I thought I could see. I thought I had it all. But now I have it all. Now I see. Now I'm alive. You see, we too thought like that.
Amen.
We thought everything was okay. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, you are in bondage. You are underneath the penalty of the law of God. You have broken God's commandments, and His law holds you captive because you have broken it. And you are in its holding cell, and your only way out is through the door. You see, those Ten Commandments are bars.
Amen.
Let me tell you, and they're going to hold you accountable. And they're going to hold you in. And the only way out is through that door. And you try some other way. You try to get out through the window. You try to saw the bars. You try to dig under. You try to climb over with all of your effort. You will only end up right back there. There's only one way to escape that jail cell you're in. And that is for the law of God to be satisfied. Only one way of freedom. An authorized official must release you through the door. But before you do that, your debt must be paid. John 1:17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Ephesians 4:8, "When He, Jesus, ascended upon high, He led captivity captive." Through Jesus Christ, we are free from the penalty of the law and are now kept by His safe care underneath His precious blood that paid the price for our sins. He satisfied the law's demands. He is the door. We walk through it and we are free. Listen, if you're lost, you're still in a jail cell. You're still in bondage to your sin, to the penalty of the law of God. But the truth sets men free. Listen, we need to get that in our mind. If we're going to witness to people, the first and foremost thing you must tell them about is they've broken God's law and Jesus sets them free.
Amen.
That's all you get this whole week. You've done fine. If we just do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read a few verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 3 through 6. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves for your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." I just love that verse 6. Isn't that good?
Amen.
He shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As we proclaim the Word of God, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. We proclaim the Word of God, we're proclaiming Jesus Christ. People see Christ in the Word of God and it sets them free, sheds light on their darkness. Jesus can set men free from Satan's lies and all of their sin. Now the second thing that's called truth is the second person of the Trinity, of course. The Spirit is truth. I'm leading up to something here at the end, okay? John 14:17. Let's turn there and look at that, what Jesus said. John 14:17. Jesus said, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." As a child of God, we have the Spirit of God in us.
Amen.
The Spirit is to bear witness of who? Of Jesus.
Amen.
The truth. We have the Spirit of God within us, and because of such, we are now set free also not only from the penalty of sin through Jesus Christ, but now because of the Spirit of truth, we are set free from the power of sin and the power of Satan's lies. Not that we never sin again, because we still have that old flesh, but the Spirit within us, you know what? It never sins and never lies to us. The Spirit we have is not enslaved or in bondage to sin. It no longer has dominion over us, sin does not, and is no longer our master.
Amen.
I'm not underneath its penalty. I kind of think of it like this. I was once in jail. Jesus set me free. But sometimes I still break the law and don't get caught. And the law don't get me. You know, I still break that speed limit. You know, the law don't get me. I don't know how else to put that, but you know, we still break the law even after we're saved, don't we? But the law doesn't get us. We could say it should, but it doesn't. In Romans chapter 6, verse 13 and 14, Romans 6:13 and 14, It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. We're underneath the penalty of the law, but we are under grace. Listen, Satan will lie to people. Satan will lie to people and say, you'll never be able to quit that. He wants you to believe a lie that you will always be underneath the dominion and the power of sin, but the Holy Spirit of God can set you free from that, you see. But Satan will tell you lies. You'll talk to people and they'll think, well, I'll never be able to quit that. Or they'll say just something else. Well, it's not really that bad. He'll tell them other lies. Well, you've been doing this too long. I mean, what's the harm now? Or you've messed up too much to change now. What's the use? Your addiction is too strong. It's got too much of a hold. You might as well just go ahead and enjoy it. Yeah, you're going to hell, but so are a whole lot of people. I've heard that one. He will tell whatever lies he can to hold you in his web, won't he? The old devil will. As a child of God, we can overcome sin in our life. And the people we witness to, they're without Christ. We need to tell them, you know, that them being saved isn't them trying to finally overcome that sin. That's secondary. That's secondary. Because you'll be witnessing a lot of people and they'll say, well, I just can't live that kind of life. What you need to tell them is, you're right. You can't. You can't. We don't want them to begin thinking, well, they've got to live that kind of life in order to go to heaven. They need, first of all, to be saved by the power of the gospel and faith in Christ. And we need to let them know, you know, after you've repented of your sins and trusted Christ, listen, God, through His Holy Spirit, He enables you to overcome sin in your life.
Right.
I tried to quit a lot of things before I was saved. I never found the true power to overcome until I was truly born again of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
In 1 John chapter 4, and I want to say this, because here's one problem with Christianity today. Is a lot of it is just trying to fix people on the outside.
Right. That's right.
Now you just think about that for a little while. We're just trying to fix a lot of the symptoms. And we're not getting to the heart of the problem in America. Listen, I'm all for being against abortion, being against homosexuality. I mean, standing for marriage. And I'll sign every petition I can and wants to come by me. And I'll do what I can about that. That's fine. But I need to understand this. And you need to know this. That's not going to change America.
Amen.
Amen.
I learned this precept a long time ago. A change of heart brings about a change of law.
Right.
And if we want the laws to change, hearts must be changed.
Amen.
And what we need to pray is not that the president signs a better bill. What we need to pray is that the president is saved by the grace of God. And then he'll sign more than one good bill. He'll sign all kinds of good ones.
Amen.
And you see what I'm saying? We need a change of heart. What we need is the gospel to go forth in power. What we need is men to rise up and preach the Word of God and trust God to change hearts.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to see an outpouring of the Spirit of God and raising up many people that just love the truth, want the truth, proclaim the truth, and just live for the truth and proclaim it. That will change hearts. That will change lives.
Amen.
And then the symptoms will take care of themselves.
That's right.
When people start getting saved, they won't have abortions, will they?
That's right.
People start getting saved, they'll quit homosexuality.
Right.
People get saved, I mean, they'll quit committing adultery. They'll quit committing fornication.
Right.
I mean, people get saved, they'll get in the Word of God, and they'll find out evolution is false. I'm not saying we shouldn't teach or preach against these things, but we're dealing with symptoms.
Amen.
And I believe the church has gotten has lost focus on itself. And in the sense that it's worried about all the symptoms and all the sins that are growing, and we're failing to preach the true gospel of Christ.
Amen.
I read an article some time ago. Cal Thomas, he's this reporter, you know, maybe you read him. I mean, he really pegged Christianity. He really did, and he real good. And he made this statement. He said Christians are so involved with all the issues. He said they're missing the whole heart of the problem. He said they're dealing with all the issues, and he said they're not preaching the true, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ that changes men's hearts. Cal Thomas said that. I'm like, well, amen, that's good.
That's right, it's true. Amen.
Have your pro-life booth. That's great. I've had one before. I'm not preaching against those things. I hope you understand what I'm saying.
Amen.
But we need to understand this, that people need to change on the inside by the Holy Spirit of God. The truth will set men free from the lies that they've been told, from the lie that abortion is okay, from the lie that homosexuality is okay, from the lie that adultery is okay, from the lie that fornication is okay. The truth comes in, the Holy Spirit of God comes in, and the Word of God starts working in their life. They'll see those lies.
Amen.
Yep. And God will set them free from them. In 1 John 4, verse 4 through 6, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
There it is right there. That's what I'm talking about. That's he that is in us is greater than he's in the world. We've got to fight the devil. We've got to fight the devil. Well, we can fight the devil if we have the Holy Spirit of God within us. And He's greater than he that is in the world. Now, he goes on and he says there in verse 5, "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them." Why are people listening to the wrong people? Because they're just like them.
Right.
The world hears the world.
That's it.
We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us.
Right.
Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. As there's only two spirits out there.
Amen.
The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The truth is this, as a child of God, we have God's Spirit in us. And He has power, the Holy Spirit has power, to overcome the works of darkness that haunt us. And He has power to work through us, to preach the Word of God, to show other men the truth that sets them free. Sin no longer has dominion over us. And we need to understand that. You know, child of God, you need to understand that it's not you that overcomes that sin. It's not me. But it's Christ in me that strengthens me. It is Christ in me. Through Christ in me, I have the strength to overcome that sin. And see, we're trying to get people to quit this and quit that, overcome that. Oh, you can quit it. I mean, the power of positive thinking. I mean, we can do it. You can do it, you know. You know, man can of his own. I think people can somewhat reform. I think people, you know, they start feeling bad over alcohol and they see the damage they've done to their wife and to their children. And they say, you know, I feel bad about it. I don't want to hurt my wife and kids like that. And so they quit. But it was brought about not by a transformation within.
Right.
I mean, they see the damage of eyes. So I don't want to do that to my family. I don't want to do that. And I'm glad they quit that. And I'm glad they quit that. But listen, if that's all they did, and they're not truly born again, they'll still go to hell.
Right. Amen.
Now the next word, the next thing that's truth, of course, is the Word. The Word is truth. John 17:17, you may know the passage. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." Because you cannot separate the Word from Jesus and the Spirit of God. They all work together. Our relationship with the Word of God is the same as it is with Jesus.
Amen.
Now you just think, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, me and Jesus, and me and Jesus, and me and Jesus. And oh, we're close, me and Jesus. And I'm saying this because you will run into people like that when you're trying to witness.
That's right.
Say, well, that person must be okay. I mean, them and Jesus, they're like that. Man, ask him a question. So,
right.
You got a Bible? Well, yeah. Well, do you ever read it? When's the last time you read it? Well, I don't know. Them and Jesus isn't like that.
That's right.
As I know me, and I'm not in the Word, me and Jesus are
right.
Like this.
Amen.
So I know this, but the Holy Spirit within me that is truth. I know this truth. That if I'm not in the truth, I'm not walking with the truth, Jesus.
Right. Amen.
And I know them and Jesus isn't like this. And so they got a false idea of who Jesus is apparently. But it's not Jesus they're walking with when they're rejecting the Word of God in their life.
Right.
Now these are important truths to understand when you're talking to people. Because like Jim said earlier today, he said, we go out, we visit with people, we can't find anybody lost. We got to dig a little deeper, folks, because we are dealing with people who have been Christianized. And we're dealing with people who have been engrossed in religion all their life, but yet do not know the truth.
Amen.
In John chapter 8, where we began, Jesus said this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed.
Amen.
If you're truly a disciple and follower of Christ, you're going to be in the Word. And so you can't separate the Word from Jesus. People reject the Word in their life, they're rejecting Jesus in their life.
Right.
The Word reveals Jesus. And the Word is inspired by the Spirit of God. People's rejection of the book in their life is a clear manifestation that they're not a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 18 and verse 37, it says this, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. He says, I came to bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth My voice.
Amen.
Or what is the voice of God? It's the Word of God.
Amen.
My sheep hear My voice, He said. And I know them. He said, they follow Me.
Right.
And those are the ones that have eternal life. A clear distinction of a true disciple of Christ is they have a relationship with the Word of God.
Amen.
Listen, so we're talking to people. Listen, I say this because we've been duped into thinking when people are starting talking about Jesus, well, they must be okay. You got to go a little farther because you don't know what people think about Jesus.
Right. That's right.
But when you think about Jesus, what the Word says about Jesus. And if people aren't don't have anything to do with the Word of God, then listen, they don't have Jesus.
Right.
I don't know if I'll tell a story or not, but my wife will start shaking her head since I start telling it. I might save that for later. Jesus better come back. But it's a good one. Listen, the devil will tell you a lot of lies regarding your relationship with the Word of God. He'll tell people, just because you don't read the Bible, that doesn't mean you're not right with God. That's a lie.
Right.
If you're not reading the Bible, you're not right with God.
Amen.
He'll say, going to church is enough. You don't need to read. I mean, why a preacher preached for 45 minutes? I mean, isn't that plenty? You don't need to read yourself. He wants a lot of people to believe that lie.
Right.
You're too busy to read the Word. Hey, well, you listen to good music. You don't have to read the Bible too. There's a lot of lies He'll tell people regarding the Word of God. But we need to go forth with the Word of God. We need the Word of God. It sets us free from all of those philosophies of men and the lies of Satan. In the book of Colossians in chapter 2, I want to read just a few verses here. Colossians chapter 2. I want to read verses 1 through 8. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen My face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye therefore, or have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Listen, Satan and those who would follow him would tell us lots of lies to get us away from Christ. And you see, Christ is mentioned so many times in verses 1 through 8. And of Christ, he says, your faith in Christ, you've received Christ. They're trying to lead you not after Christ. We've got to realize it's all about Him. And the devil wants to do everything he can in his power, of course, to lead people away from Christ. And he'll tell them all the lies, anything they will believe. I mean, you think about some of the stories you hear, or some of the things people believe. It's like, how do you believe such nonsense? And then the devil will tell them all kinds of lies. Chapter 3 in the same book there, verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The Word of God enriches our walk with Christ and our knowledge of Him. And it serves as a sword to divide and discern the lies. It serves as a hammer to crush the chains of vain deceit and the traditions of men. Listen, what you need to know more than anything is not all the traditions, is not all the vain philosophies, is not all the religions. What you need more than anything is to let this Word dwell in you richly. It's like a hammer. It's like a sword. It doesn't matter what the lie is, what the philosophy is. If you know the Word of God is in you, and you can speak it, and God can crush the lies, no matter what they are.
Amen.
The Word is what sanctifies us and instructs us and helps empower us to overcome sin in our own life. And it's what God will use to enable us to preach it unto others that they might overcome the penalty and power of sin in their life. Now, just to kind of sum all this up, 1 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 15, very famous passage, but it says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth.
Amen.
Now, the church isn't called truth. You know why? Because sometimes the church is wrong. Sometimes the church is wrong. Sometimes we're wrong, aren't we, church? Sometimes we've been wrong. But the church is the pillar and ground of the truth.
Amen.
In other words, the church is to uphold the truth.
Amen.
The church is to uphold the Word of God. The church is to go in the power of the Spirit of God. And the church is to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not to have the focus upon us. You see, the true one of the signs of a Spirit-filled church is that it is a witnessing church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He said in Acts 1:8, wasn't it? When the Spirit comes in power, ye shall be witnesses of Me. When a church truly has the Spirit of God within it, it will proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be about the Word of God and the power of the Spirit proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the purposes of the Spirit of God was to testify of Jesus Christ. And if we truly have the Spirit of God within us, that's one of the things we are most certain to do. And it doesn't matter how sound a church may be doctrinally. I don't care if it's got all of its ducks in a row, all on paper, and it's got everything just right. If it's not a witnessing church, if it's not an evangelizing church, it does not have the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen.
We have the greatest opportunity in all the world. As I prayed when we began, that we tonight might realize that we are the true freedom fighters. I was talking to Larry before services, and he was talking about some Amish that he ministers to down here. And we have a lot of Amish where we're at as well. And you know, a lot of people, they admire them. We have a lot of tourists. We have, our county is the second largest county in the United States for Amish people.
Now we pass them on the buggies all the time. And you know, when I first got there, I was admired and all. It was just really neat. And I feel like living around them. I mean, not too many of them want to break in your house and rob you. You know, it's kind of nice. Actually, we did have a problem lately. A bunch of Amish were cutting off beards. And did y'all read about that? That was up near us. Yeah. But, I don't know why I said that, but that's okay. But you know what I've come to realize, though? Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's nice, the atmosphere, the Amish buggies. But you know what? The more you talk to them, the more you know what? My heart goes out every time I see one.
Amen.
Because I see a people in bondage.
Amen. Right.
Yeah. People are admiring, look how they live. It'd be nice to live like that. I never lived like that. Wouldn't it be nice if you lived like that? No, those people are in bondage. They live
right.
In fear. They live in fear of losing their family. They live in fear of being shunned. I mean, they live in fear of never being able to talk to their parents again. But they hold them in the bondage of fear. Fear
right.
Is what is keeping the Amish people together.
Yep.
And that's it in a nutshell. They're afraid.
Amen.
They're so scared. I've talked to too many. That's exactly what's holding them. Fear of hell. You disobey your parents, you won't go to hell. Your parents say you need to stay with the Amish. That's it in a nutshell. You disobey your parents, you're going to hell. You know, they hold them with fear. That's all these people in bondage. Let me tell you what, everyone you talk to that's lost without Christ, they're in bondage.
Amen. Amen.
They may appear like everything's fine on the outside, and they might be enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, but they are locked in hell's gates. And we in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ need to charge those gates with the Word of God and the power of the Spirit proclaiming Jesus Christ. Because the truth, my friend, the truth, know the truth. The truth makes men free. Don't get caught up in all the little philosophies and the baits and, well, you know, if and that, and give them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Give them the Word of God. Speak the truth in love.
Amen.
Speak it. You don't have to be mean about it.
Right.
You don't have to be mad about it. You can whisper it if you want to. Because it's not in the power of how I say it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the power of my spirit and how I say it. It's in the power of the Spirit of God in the truth.
Amen. Right.
And sometimes we think we got to drive it in people. You know, we got to say it just right, and we got to scream it here, and soft spoken here, you know. And you know, you just give people the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need to see love and compassion and just speak the truth and let God do His work. Let Him do His thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guarantee He can go a whole lot further into their heart and divide and discern and separate and mess up those thoughts, those strongholds. I guarantee He can do that with His truth far better than you can. You just give Him the truth.
Amen.
That's what makes men free. That's